Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, my international friends. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. That guy's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
That one is Luke Moore.
England.
And he's Pete Dalton. We've entered another international break, everybody. And my goodness, it feels good.
Put some relish on it.
There. I'm not going to do anything on this show without giving a reference to an archetypal English thing at every point I make, bowler hat.
Mm. Well, Jim already did it with, well, no, Richard O'Brien, the surname's not very English,
no,
is it?
But no, but he is quite a quintessential English.
Well, will you start the qualifiers, please?
Savaloy.
Savaloy.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, what, you think it's not British because it's a bit spicy? Get out, okay. Brexit.
Stay in, Brexit.
was Brexit a reference and an insult, or one or the other? A
little bit of both. I've got one for you all.
England haven't played by the time we record. Most of it hasn't happened by the time we record. Of course, you'll know, ladies and gentlemen, whether England have made it to Russia or not. By the time you listen to this, hopefully England would have thrashed Slovenia. But if not, there's always
Seville.
If they don't, they'll have another chance to on Sunday.
Yes.
Red telephone box.
Very much so.
Indeed, falling through bar.
One man who we know is using his international break very well is Jose Mourinho.
I agree. Q.
As from James Bond.
All the character from James Bond. That could be either.
Or a snooker cue.
All three. All three are very English.
It's an English perfect hat trick.
Yeah.
Which hopefully Harry Kane has got against Slovenia. Mourinho returned to his hometown of Setúbal. Is that how it's pronounced?
Setúbal, I think.
Setúbal.
Yeah.
Mm. Setúbal.
It's a blind leading the blind here. I have no idea how to pronounce it.
If it's Portuguese, it's probably Setúbal.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, something like that.
Come on now.
Although that would be more Brazilian.
We have to ask Andy Brassel on the Continental Wednesday.
We would have to. That would be
roast beef and Yorkshire pudding.
The Brazilian twist on Portuguese is quite wonderful. Penalti.
Yeah.
That kind of futebol.
Ronaldinho.
Yeah. It's great. Absolutely wonderful.
Beautiful. ZX Spectrum. But I did the... I googled Setúbal.
Use the internet? That would have been another one.
It was it was included in a list of the most beautiful bays in the world.
Oh. Really?
Back in 2002.
Are the ones Bay of Biscay, Lulworth Cove, Pihar Beach, West Auckland, are they in there? Make the list?
Jurassic Coast? No, I don't think so. No, none of those.
Jurassic Coast is Lulworth Cove.
I think they refresh them every year, so at the end, they're going to cover all of the bays, and we're going to be left with, like, Whitley Bay and stuff.
And Michael Bay.
James Bay, the high cheekboned songster.
And then just a bay leaf. I've actually got a bay tree in my garden.
And Teresa Bay. he returned to Setúbal in Portugal as he had a road named after him, which is quite wonderful. He thanked the locals for helping to keep his feet on the ground during his managerial career.
Right.
They haven't done a very good job, have they?
You know what? If I was on Van... Yeah, they haven't at all.
That balloon's in the sky, mate.
If I was on Van
Brock
that road,
where would he be if it wasn't for them?
Let me tell you something right now. If I had named a road after Jose Mourinho...
Yeah.
And I got him there to unveil it, I would put a massive bus on it.
Yeah, I'd put a bus depot on it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Bus stop, surely, all the way.
Yeah,
that would have been good.
A big red bus.
Yeah, of course. Well. Yeah. Indeed, and called it Big Ben Street.
But didn't Jose make a really funny point about something about the special one and people just treat him normally and all that sort of thing?
Yeah,
he did.
Didn't he say he was he likes to go there to get away from the special one bullshit. So likes to have a break from his own bullshit,
which he invented, which he bestowed upon himself.
A little bullshit holiday, like Dreadlock Holiday. I'd like to hear that song, to be honest.
I'm just going to go for the Spanish here, but I bet he gets them to call them the Especial Uno or something instead.
Right.
It's not a special one. Is it a Portuguese equivalent? Well, look, we're all about the road.
Did you have a nice time back in Portugal? It was a bit of a busman's holiday, really. I was just moaning all the time. Yeah.
Don't say bus.
No, sorry, yeah.
All right, then. But they treat him normally there, according to Jose Mourinho, and they call him Z.
I love the fact that he says that they treat him normally when they're opening a road in his honour. That's his idea of how he should be treated by everyone all the time.
Yeah. Well, so, Cristiano, why did you go back to Madeira? Another statue, so...
Yeah. Naming an island after me. This one, not yet. Soon enough.
If it was in England, it would be Mourinho Road, wouldn't it? Mourinho Road.
You're right, mate.
Yeah. That is the gist of it.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Do you want a fight, mate? Yeah. I've been away for too long.
Hang on a minute.
I'll have a fight with you if you want.
Save it for Russia next summer, lad. All right.
Come on, mate. It's the international
rare. Imagine wanting to have a fight with someone but agreeing to put it off for 9 months. Because, you know, speaking of that, there was a guy who, back in our home, in our hometown, it's like a pretty small village. Really.
Just down Lukemore Road.
Yeah. And I was going back there for an unveiling of a road. But, you know,
and we're going down memory lane.
And no, there was this guy there who used to be a real wrong'un back in the day. He's about my dad's age now.
Yeah, but he's here with us now, ladies and gentlemen.
And, no, but he honestly was a real wrong'un. And my mate said that he came up to him in the pub and said to my mate, "Oh, is your dad still knocking about?" And my mate went, "What are you talking about?" He went, "Tell him I'm still looking for him, won't you?" I think it was like some sort of argument they had, like, back in the 70s. This is like in 2004.
Wow.
Yeah. I respect it.
That's one of my mates, though, in Edinburgh. He bumped into the old secondary school bully.
Yeah.
Mm. And he was chatting about, I mean, this is years on from, you know, 10, 11, 12 years on from secondary school. And he saw him, he's like, "Are you getting on, pal?" And they always got on quite well. And he said, do you need anybody battered or anything like that? I'm 28.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
I tell you what, I took a right kick in that week. Yeah. I don't know who it was.
That is quite a Mourinho thing to do. Mourinho would bear a grudge for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
I just can't help but feel that if that guy had been looking for that guy's dad since the 70s, he would have come across him by
now. He's not looking that well, is he?
No.
He's
it.
Maybe that's the only flaw.
Yeah, that's what fuels him. He doesn't actually want to find him.
Oh, he's a problem.
I've got terrible cataracts. Can't see a thing.
What an Inspector Morse type character.
Oh dear, but if England do make a dog's dinner of it,
they will
Slovenia,
almost certainly do that.
They'll sneak through in the last minute with a shot off a bomb or something.
Yeah. That'd be absolutely fine. And the good news is, though, the FA have already booked up the team's hotel in Russia, as is the custom. Teams often do this. Of course, England have done this before.
But that is a show of strength.
I still think it's a bit ballsy, England doing that. But the England base in Russia, it's always called a base, isn't it? 19 miles away from the beautiful city of St. Petersburg. It's a 4-star resort,
right? Mm. No, it's no Baden.
Right. It isn't.
What was the one in South Africa, Marcus?
I can't remember.
Rustenburg?
I think it was the Fabio Capello prison.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, you might be right. Yeah, something like that.
Do you remember the Argentinian lads were just having barbecues all the time?
Yeah, Uruguayans. Yeah. I think that was.
Was that Uruguay? Yeah, yes, it was Uruguay. Sorry.
Yeah, that was great. They have a wonderful. Do you see? They've got some important. Well, a lot of South American qualifying. We'll probably talk about that on the Monday show. Mm. But their team photo the other day. Luis Suarez is in goal, and I thought of all the international teams. You look at the vibe inside. Uruguay is the one for me.
Yeah.
Because everyone ever pissing around.
Yeah, I'll be up for it.
Going deep in tournaments as well.
Yeah. But so England's base is a 4-star resort.
Yes, it's called the Forest Mix Resort.
That's right.
But like forest, but four rest mix. So you can do it all there.
But they have to book it up early. I remember reading that. I remember reading when Australia had done theirs, and it was absolutely ages ago. Nine months ago.
They could rue that, couldn't they?
Yeah, well, they could do. Yeah,
yeah, indeed. Yeah, we'll come on to
that in a minute.
Can rue that. It's absolutely right.
Was that a pun? Was that an inadvertent pun? Because Jim jumped in, but I thought it was already out there.
I only mentioned it because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I just sort of teased it out of him.
Sometimes if I've rounded the keeper, I will just square it.
And Pete will put it over the bar. But chaps, I was thinking about this on the way over here. This is the, because we started this show ahead of 2008, and obviously we didn't qualify for that. So 2010, 2012, 14, 16, and 18. This is our fifth England included tournament.
Yeah.
Holy
and
moly.
every single tournament, Marcus or I usually get to a point where we start thinking, well,
I did this. I think it was 2014, maybe.
Yeah.
It came around to the tournament and you were going,
the jingle jangle of it's coming home.
I mean, there's been some green shoots from you already, pal.
Well, can I just say, I'm starting to feel a bit like I might want to do it again.
Yes!
I'll tell you why.
The hotel's booked.
Do you know what got me? obviously Harry Kane being brilliant, that got me for a bit, and I thought you need, if you get if you've got a, someone was saying to me earlier today, if you've got a striker you think could feasibly score six or seven goals, honestly,
who definitely won't be really tired out by the summer.
No, but no, no, no. But listen, if you can get someone who could score six or seven goals,
ACL.
Yeah. Yes, Pete. No, it won't be an ACL. You know exactly what it'll be. It'll be like quite a minor injury, but it'll happen right at the last minute. So we'll all be praying for him to be back, and he will play, but he won't be fit.
That's
but,
right. That's right.
If he can, if Harry Kane can do that, I think, given that the sort of progress that John Stones has made this season, because Man City keep a lot of clean sheets, they've got a bit of experience in Gary Cahill, who I know sort of isn't really that good.
Do you not think Man City keep clean sheets because they keep the ball further up the field from John Stones?
Shut up! Give him a slap, will you?
Yeah, he can't crive turn on the corner of his box.
I thought you'd be. I thought you'd.
Oh, you mean John Stones,
me.
The English guy?
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. Carry on.
He's
there.
He's wearing an English shirt. This analogy. What are you talking about?
sorry.
Yeah, I think we might have the makers. We could do something.
Have we got a spine?
Well, when I looked at that
Jake
earlier...
Jake Livermore in there?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know about
Ross
that.
Ross Barkley's still got to come back from injury.
You're popping my bubble now.
Yeah.
But when I thought about that earlier, I looked at the results for World Cup 2014. Bottom of the group.
Don't do that.
Bottom of the group.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Clean sheet.
That was ages ago. This is a golden generation we've got coming through here.
Clean sheet against Costa Rica.
That's right, yeah.
Golden generation is right, Jim, and we should definitely bestow that upon people before they've done anything.
Absolutely.
That's the right way around to do it. Front load it.
It's absolutely spot on. I mean, if you're an England player and you're listening to this, which you bloody well should be, then...
Well, you'll be playing.
Yeah.
You'll be literally warming up for the game.
Well,
yeah. No, I don't need to take the game too seriously, given the talent in the squad.
This podcast doesn't go out live.
I know, but... good point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you want to go to the Forest Mix Club, it's a short walk from the beach on the Gulf of Finland. It'd be a lovely spot.
Does sound lovely, actually.
It does, actually. Yeah. It sounds gorgeous. Although not all the reviews are positive, though. One review called it a Soviet sanatorium. Right. Which I sort of think is the kind of place you might stay, Pete, when you go abroad. Well, much to your credit, I would argue.
I like a risky venture.
Yeah.
Or rather, adventure.
Financially risky venture as well.
And others said that the hotel staff are a bit like robots, and I thought, well, maybe get Crouchy on the plane.
Again, the sort of place where Pete would go.
No, they're not
robot
actual
hotel.
Robots, Jim.
Is this like TripAdvisor?
Yeah.
It's almost like it's invariably, usually Americans go, why can't everyone speak English? Because you're not in bloody English speaking country.
Pete, this one reviewer suggested that the swimming pool was poor enough with a lot of chemicals.
Oh, really?
Well,
there we are. It'll be closed off completely. It'll just be England staying there.
Well, FA are saving a lot of money because the England team's hotel at Euro 2016 cost £500 a night, whereas this one, a much more modest, between £95 and £102 per night.
That's decent.
And bearing in mind, the pound is pretty piss poor.
I also heard that family and friends are welcome to stay.
Yeah. Or do we know anybody?
Is that normal?
Can we
bring an entourage?
Can we tag along?
How can we get in there?
Can we befriend one of them?
Yeah.
Do you reckon Clint Hill can get into the squad?
Yeah. It's the only chance I've got, really. Well, I'm doing some work at Ray Parr now. He might get in.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't even get in when he was playing, so that he'd be able to get in there.
Yeah, once or twice, but you never know. With this in mind, the comments made by FA chief exec Martin Glenn about England players not travelling well with a psychological brittleness to international tournaments isn't too encouraging, but he is right.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they've acknowledged that and are working on it. I mean, Gareth Southgate has clearly been doing that with getting players like Alan Shearer and John Barnes to come in and sort of give the players a bit of a talking to about how the psychological side of things play out, especially with the media. Apparently the players sort of, you know, had a bit of back and forth with Alan Shearer about his own sort of media commitments and how that doesn't necessarily... Well, that, effectively, yeah. Not, you know, it was a bit more...
Use a spray rather than a brush on your creosote fence.
Yeah. You know, not quite as aggressive as that, perhaps, but they did have apparently quite a candid chat. And I think that's a great idea because that's so often been one of the things that heaps loads of pressure on England is the media from back home.
And then Alan took him outside and started taking pot shots at the goal guy.
Yeah.
Right!
Yeah.
You want to have a go at me? Yeah. Look what I can do, mate.
Who better...
That's interesting,
to motivate the current England squad than quite a dour northerner who retired from England duty at 30.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
He did.
Too injury, though, isn't it?
A bit harsh. No,
his love of Newcastle.
It wasn't really... It was more that than the injury.
Surely they take inspiration from his managerial career.
Can I interest you in my striking partner at Blackburn?
Yeah. You think I'm boring? Wait for the main event.
Hey, Kevin Gallagher, it's a good interviewee. That's all I'm saying. The round special, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, I want this so bad, and so does Marcus, and Jim and Pete will come around.
Jim will be with
clipped.
Us.
Yeah, that's getting clipped right now.
That's all right.
Got to be honest, Luke, I'm at the bus stop.
Yeah, you are. Pete needs to still get out of bed, but he'll be there.
Jet lag.
England are 20-1 with Bet365 to win next year's World Cup.
I'll have a couple of quid on that.
And so £10 return, £210, including stake, when we inevitably lift that trophy in July.
In July. Why are Bet365 giving away money like that?
I know, exactly. It's amazing. Amazing odds.
I think they're 20-1. I'll tell you what, that'll be...
When
we smash
like
everyone
Johar
in our class.
And a right-sided
tell
shot.
You something, tell you something.
Well, they need to do something about Johar. You know, I was doing a...
We need to talk about Kevin.
They need to stop picking him.
Oh, okay.
They need to stop picking him. Just need to stop picking
him. Not even as a number three.
He'd get in the way, wouldn't he?
He's not a number three.
I mean, at least they can sort of say, you're playing for an underperforming football team. You know, and you're not doing great
there. That's such a picked on thing to say.
What do you mean? Who are your three England goalkeepers?
If you're going to explain it to him...
Pete's essentially saying we're rubbish anyway, so pick a rubbish keeper.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you can literally explain it to him and say, this is why you're not playing. It's not that you're just shit. It's also because you're playing for West Ham. And they're shit at the moment.
Okay, and then what would he say?
Oh, bloody hell.
He might well do. Who are your three then? Pickford?
Well,
Butland.
All being fit, Butland.
And Pepe Reina.
Pickford. And Pepe's number three, yeah. Pepe Reina should do like a running tour, spending a couple of days in each camp.
Mm. I think it would be absolutely marvellous, that.
But I think Jordan...
Tom Heaton's a number three, isn't he?
Yeah.
Lovely chap. He'd sit on the bench and he'll have a great time.
I think Heaton is more than enough as a number three. But I did an interview for the next Ramble Meets with an ex-England keeper. Yes. I won't announce just yet. And he was fairly sort of instrumental in Jordan Pickford's development. And he said to me, Jordan Pickford, it will be as good as he wants to be. He is so good. He's the best keeper I've ever worked with.
Yeah,
well, so he's got a big potential for
him. Well, clearly, very highly rated and went for a big fee in the summer.
But we've got some good... I mean, if you think... I know that players peak younger these days. I'm not sure if that applies to goalkeepers necessarily, though. And our goalkeepers are, with the exception of Joe Hart, all of them are well under 30. Which is brilliant.
And Butland, I think, is a great keeper.
Yeah,
I think Butland should be the number
Butland's
one.
Butland's my number one, being fit.
And you've also got Fraser Forster as well, who's a decent keeper. You've got a bit of competition.
I agree with what you're saying, though, Luke, because I think part of the problem is this England... won't go as far as to say a talisman thing, but this nature of the undroppable player.
I know, right.
It's now Harry Kane, Jim.
Well, yeah, but it's this big political thing to drop Joe Hart, isn't it? When it absolutely shouldn't be. It's ridiculous
for it
to be.
It's the captaincy thing. We get so... I'm fairly certain... I want to say Italy, but that might not be correct. But I'm fairly certain there's at least one other high-profile nation. No, they just give it to the most capped player.
Oh, right. Do they?
And that's that.
But
international football, it's like an ambassadorial thing anyway.
But for the last 10 years, I've been saying like Casillas for Spain. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like it doesn't really matter. Like,
I think you should be England captain.
I think I should be too.
Yeah, I think you should host the World Cup. in 2030.
I think I should pick the balls out for Qatar.
Listen,
you pick the balls out.
I don't know. I'll do something. I'd like something at the opening ceremony.
Is that you? As the first football broadcaster, and we are a football broadcasting show. Mm. Are you the first one to tacitly endorse the Qatar World Cup by saying that?
Yeah.
Sod it.
That's a kind of commitment.
I'll run an ad for it next week.
There you go. Nice. There you are, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be delighted with that pick.
Gareth Southgate spoken of his admiration for Raheem Sterling and said that he's maybe going to try and play him in a number 10 role. Now, he might well have done that, as I say, by the time you listen to this podcast against Slovenia. I think that was the plan. England, their midfield was largely moulded around Sterling for the opening fixture of the World Cup 2014 against Italy. And he's been in fine form for Man City this summer. This season, rather.
Recently, he's been very good.
I'm not sure about him as a number 10, though.
Well, it's an interesting one, though, isn't it? I think he's in the form of his career, really. He's got 6 goals in 9 appearances, and his previous season's best is 11, I think. So he's already, you know, well on course to smash that. But I think you're right. It's not where he's playing for City, so it seems like an odd choice.
But then England will do that, won't they?
Well, quite.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a queue of number 10s up behind.
Well, with Ali out, it's just...
Well, you've got Dele Alli. I mean, as I say, Adam Lallana? I mean, I know he's not been...
He's not playing, though, is he?
No, he hasn't. But...
He's not in the squad either.
He has played very well for England in the past, inexplicably.
It's very true. I think if you've got a front three of Rashford, Kane and Sterling, although I think Oxlade-Chamberlain was due to start, forgive me if that's obviously wrong, but I think that's very healthy, Rashford, Kane and Sterling. I think Lallana perhaps on the flank or in behind the striker if Dele Alli's not...
Because we've got a lot of players in the England squad who you would think are not all world-class players or whatever, but they're probably... You could make a decent argument that they're improving players, especially attacking players. Like Rashford's improving. Harry Kane's improved even this season. You know, Harry Winks, who's just been given the nod, will improve. Mm-hmm. Dele Alli, you'd hope, would improve. You know, Raheem Sterling's going to improve. I was talking about the attacking players.
Sorry.
No, you're right. Keane's only 24. He would improve as well. So it is tempting to think, well, if we approach it properly and the FA show a bit of leadership, which they won't, and the manager does a good job, which he won't, mm-hmm. we will progress. But none of this is going to happen. Yeah. But it's
we've got multiple players, basically.
But Pete, I'm just saying,
we've
nice
got
to know.
Plasticine in front of us.
Play-Doh. Yeah. They're all morph.
We could. It's either going to end up like morph, or we're going to be eating it.
It won't happen. None of this will happen in a positive way. But it is, in some way, I don't know if you guys agree, sort of comforting to know that in another timeline it could possibly happen.
But isn't this the best part of that cycle? And given that we live in a world now where clearly whoever runs the Matrix is on holiday or has died, maybe this time it could happen.
Yeah, it could be.
Pete just
decided to end the show.
Yeah. Sorry.
I've had enough of this. It's far too positive for me. Here we go.
Is that the cue to move on to Scotland?
I've got a malfunctioning mouse.
Well, yeah. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because England, you have this sort of perhaps younger generation of players coming. I mean, they look a bit golden, sort of.
Yeah, Jim's already said it, and I agree with him.
Yeah, well,
absolutely. Coat them in breadcrumbs right now.
Damn right. Before we move, obviously, Scotland haven't played either. All the 7:45 kickoffs on the Thursday haven't played. And before we quickly go to Northern Ireland, Sam Allardyce is planning to sue the FA over his sacking. So that'll get in the way of World Cup preparation.
I believe it's the comments made after his sacking, isn't it, rather than the sacking itself.
Listen, the FA have got so much on their plate, it won't make any difference.
I found it quite interesting.
They just fired like the women's manager for crying out. Maybe Big Sam had inappropriate relations with Mikel Antonio. We just don't know.
Pete, that is bad, saying that, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Having relations with Mikel Antonio.
Why?
Where's that come from?
Because Mark Sampson was fired.
Yeah, I know.
For inappropriate relations.
I was going to say, you know what happened to Mark Sampson thing? This is actually quite funny.
Right.
Martin Glenn came in as the head of the FA, got given the report about Mark Sampson, didn't read it, said, oh, that's fine. And then other people said, like, hang on a minute, you might want to read that report. And he's like, oh yeah, that is quite bad, actually. Yeah, I'll fire him. It was about 18 months later.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So the FA got loads of stuff on their plate. Don't worry about
they
that.
They do. I thought it was interesting. Sam Allardyce said he turned down the chance to manage Turkey in the summer.
Mm. Yes. And
that would have been nice to see him on the international stage.
They've got Luchescu now, haven't they?
Oh, have they?
Because the ex Ukraine that he managed, Shakhtar Donetsk?
Yeah, quite possibly. And he
did very well there. Mm. And the manager, obviously, they had before that was at Turkey was Fatih Terim, who I believe got fired for having a brawl in a restaurant, which is the most continental way of getting fired.
That's incredible.
If he got fired for that, if Sam Allardyce was being interviewed, there was an interest. There was something going on with you in a restaurant. What happened? I just said some inappropriate things. Oh, that's fine. Did you hit anyone? No, that's great.
No. I don't think I'm getting on a bit now. I've never seen a fight in a restaurant. Have any of you guys ever seen a fight in a restaurant?
I would have seen one in a fight. Late night kebab house.
It's got to be a sit down meal for what Pete's proposing, I think.
Yeah, indeed. Speaking of Pete, he's going to give us some correspondence right now.
Oh, am I? Okay, right. I thought we got the ad break, so let's do some correspondence instead. Hello to Toby.
Always the same, Pete. Always the same.
Yeah. Well, you
to
know.
The point where Luke saying that is always the same.
I've been away. It's my first preview show for a couple of weeks.
True.
Hello to Toby. Basically, you guys have been talking about notable things that have happened during football matches. The league I played in as a teenager took us all over Dartmoor. Two particular pitches are especially memorable. On one occasion, we drove all Sunday morning around the moor searching for what was promised was a football pitch. I remember thinking this was incredibly unlikely, and even my dad, a seasoned Dartmoor farmer, couldn't believe that we'd find any pitch on this part of the moor. Eventually, though, we did. Sat next to a wonderful forest overlooking what must have been Plymouth and the south coast was a pitch of quite stunning design. No fences, changing rooms or even benches, but there was a magnificently manicured lawn and two goals. We couldn't believe our luck, and it turned out that we were correct to stare in disbelief because for whatever reason we weren't allowed to play on this pitch, and we had to play on the second pitch. Actual moorland, completely sheep shit, bracken, bog and farmyard animals, because understandably you're not really supposed to paint the moor. Some poor bastard had burnt the lines into the ground.
Wow.
In what I couldn't really describe as an entirely accurate fashion. So during the game, we were interrupted by sheep, cows, teenage boys complaining of being covered in poo, and even the odd moment when a player would suddenly find himself sucked into the marshy pitch itself.
Wow, that is full on.
It's a bit much
dangerous.
Rural.
I was in the beautiful fishing village of Boscastle in Cornwall in the summer. And where I stayed was up this big, I mean, anyone who's visited Boscastle will know what I mean. There's a very windy single track road up to the top of the hill overlooking the village. It's a beautiful part of the world. And the guest house we stayed in was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you just don't see anyone. And as we drove out to leave, We went round the corner, and no word of a lie, there was a football pitch there and a proper football match being played by Boscastle AFC. I don't know what division they're in or anything, but it was no one from absolutely miles around.
I do
really
like that.
There's a proper game being played with a ref and assistant referees and everything.
Yeah, like the Indiana Jones of football.
I know, right?
Just
I'm,
discovering football.
I really wanted to stop and watch it, but I was told
there's a lovely pitch down in Surrey near where I used to live, near Box Hill, if anybody knows.
Yeah,
that.
I know Box Hill. That's what they had the cycling in for the Olympics.
That's right, yeah. It's a delightful pitch. Wonderful scenery. Many a victory on that pitch.
Beautiful. Scored many goals on that one, Spelzy?
That was my season playing right back, so just a few.
Yeah. Rory on the emails asks if Wimbledon tonight.
Wimbledon.
Good Lord. Wimbledon FC's legacy is surely that they were the team to have most seminal goals scored against them.
Right.
And he lists five goals. And the case is pretty strong, to be honest. Yeboah versus Wimbledon, 1995.
Yeah.
Beckham against Wimbledon, 1996. Rest in peace, Atkinson, Wimbledon, 1992.
Bastille Villa.
Letizia, 1994. De Canio, Wimbledon, 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Is there another team that's stronger than that? I'm thinking Newcastle's got to be up there. The Rooney volley.
Just from volume or anything else.
The Dennis Burkamp twirl.
There's probably a few.
It was
the fella that Nikos Dabby's ass.
Yeah, I think it was.
Xabi Alonso, he scored a long ranger against Newcastle. Would that have won?
That rings a bell.
Was that the same? Well, he scored one against Luton not 2 weeks later or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember. He scored a couple, hasn't he, long rangers, old Xabi Alonso.
But if anyone's got any more shouts for that, do get involved.
Well, I've got one. England. Diego Maradona's hand of gold.
There you go.
Gold, hand of God.
And the other one?
Diego Maradona's goal after that.
Zlatan's bicycle kick from like the centre circle.
There we go.
There's a fair few to choose from.
Talking about people who have appeared at half-time, Sam in Grange Over Sands. A few seasons ago at Borough, I think we were playing Nottingham Forest, we had James May, Richard Hammond and Jeremy Clarkson.
Dear, oh dear.
They jogged out of the tunnel wearing Newcastle shirts, received mild disapproval from the half-full stadium before turning around, walking back in and coming back out in Borough shirts.
Pete,
and that was it.
When did that happen? How did you not know that?
Well, we should have spoken about it.
Passed you by that.
We're a big fan of the Museum of Modern Art in Middlesbrough because they were doing some kind of exhibition there, apparently.
And the Top Gear guy.
Strange combination.
Any more, Peter?
Yes. Amused Geordie says, not only did I witness an embarrassing half-time presentation on Sunday at Newcastle, but I can remember a funny one as well. At half-time during the 4-4 game between Newcastle and Arsenal, which was not on my illegal feed, I know that, two men raced from one end of the pitch and back in one of those inflatable bubble things that you play football in on a stag do or team building exercises. On the way back, one of the competitors ran full speed into Marouane Chamakh.
Blimey. Just out for a jolly.
Yeah. Covered in greasy hair gel, no doubt after that. Do you want me to continue? There's a couple more?
If you want.
It's International Week, Marcus, that's all I'm saying. And the next topic is Scotland, so it's yours.
It's not, we've moved on from Scotland.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got their mention.
Ian says, hi, Ramble. Amidst all this talk of Barcelona joining the Premier League, I'm surprised I've not heard much rumbling of them joining Ligue 1 instead. It's closer geographically and would create at least a duopoly with PSG. And there is a precedent of Monaco as a team based in a different country playing in Ligue 1. Would this be a coup for Ligue 1 as they try and increase their ranking among the other leagues?
We talked about this on the continent. The European show, and Mr. Andy Brassel said there's no chance it would happen, but also, interestingly enough, PSG, I think, put something out on the old jungle drum saying they are not coming here. That is not happening.
Yeah. Like they'd have any say in it.
I know. Well, they probably would, Jim. They probably would love their own league.
But they would, you know, they alone would not,
Jim,
in the way they're implying.
The decision will ultimately rest with Neymar.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Neymar's dad.
Yeah. No, they'll do the opposite of what Cavani wants them to do.
Yeah.
Because Neymar will say that.
Absolutely right.
Have you seen the Catalan Football Association logo? It's a guy doing a bicycle kick.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Is it Philippe Albert?
The Catalan FA logo. The Basque one is a bit of a mess, though. It's an MS Paint nightmare. So.
Is it?
Perhaps something that you could...
Maybe I should offer my services.
Free nice designer.
Yeah, exactly.
There we are. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk more World Cup qualifying after this.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
Northern Ireland haven't hosted Germany yet.
No.
At the time of recording. And I know that's getting a bit boring, me saying that, but what we like about this one is what's happened on social media beforehand. Now, the game doesn't matter too much, really, in sort of factual terms, if Germany did indeed lose the match, which I doubt they will.
Well, Northern Ireland are very... I mean, they're essentially nailed on to come second, whatever happens, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are.
Yeah.
They,
no, because if they beat Germany and then Germany lose to Azerbaijan, then Northern Ireland can overhaul Germany.
Yeah, it's highly unlikely.
Which won't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there was something in the, I think it might have been the Times today. There was some guy, bless him, I forget who it was, but he did a really good effort of reaching so much by saying, oh yeah, but the German clubs are doing so badly in the Champions League, they might be low on confidence and Northern Ireland might be able to beat them. And it's like, meh.
Not even Michael O'Neill was trying
to do
that.
Yogi Love was basically saying that as well. He was saying that he was very disappointed with the fact that all five German clubs lost in Europe.
On the other hand, though, Pete, that's probably where the article came from, so I'm probably being unfair to the journalists. But on the other hand, Germany have never lost an away World Cup qualifier.
That's astonishing. The official FIFA World Cup Twitter feed tweeted this a few days ago, and right, you say, Luke, they said Germany in World Cup qualifying, I'm beaten away from home since 1934, which is when they started trying to qualify for World Cups. 46 matches without defeat.
Yeah.
They're not undefeated at home, though, are they?
No.
And why is that, Jim, eh?
Oh, you know why.
Yeah. Even Heskey scored.
Yeah. Even Heskey
That's
scored.
All I'll say about that.
That's why.
And Svenigans. But it was a tweet that talked about the stats, of course, and then it said, you know, tough task for Northern Ireland. Which was a bit naughty. But the Green and White Army's official Twitter feed responded with a gif of The Rock beckoning an opponent, which was quite
there
nice.
There we go. That's 2017 all over, isn't it? They're on it. They've got a great social media content editor guy.
I did quite like what Michael O'Neill said when he was admiring the German national team. He said, one thing Germany do better than any other country is their succession planning. We have Gareth McCauley and Aaron Hughes as key players. They're 37. Philip Lahm retires at 32.
Yeah. That's some respect.
Bit unfair on Aaron and Gareth, though.
That's his own...
Aaron Hughes made his debut against Barcelona in the Champions League.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, well, obviously that's factual, so it doesn't matter if I agree or not. But you're right. But population size as well comes into it. Uruguay have never said
hugely overachieved. When you compare them to, say, Scotland, who haven't qualified for a World Cup for, it would be 20 years,
for
wouldn't
a
it?
While, yeah. Do you think that, did that, have they booked a hotel in Russia?
They should have, they bloody well better have.
Well, is that going to tracking? Yeah, can you book in June?
Yeah. Let's go to Airbnb, non-strict cancellation policy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I was reading that that O'Neill gets Northern Ireland ahead of these big games to do these types of, like, drills where they have, like, they'll get 7 or 8 of the first team Northern Ireland players that they think are probably going to play, and they'll play against, like, I don't know, like 15 other players.
Really?
Just to basically practice idea
of
moving around and to try and keep... Yeah.
Is it like one of those things where you see, like, in like a Real Madrid pre-season tour when, I don't know, 3 or 4 of their players play, like, against 100 South Korean children or something?
Yeah. We talked about that on the show, like, years ago.
Yeah, I remember. But you still see the odds.
I mean, it's similar to that.
Yeah, is it just like that?
There's nothing to suggest that they're using children. Oh, that's what I will say.
Let's move on swiftly from that.
Oh, but no, we can't move on because Germany are 11-2 favourites to win in Russia next year. So £10 that will, with Bet365, will return £65 including stake, which might well, all things being equal, be a better option than back in England. Yeah. I'm just putting it out there.
Come on,
have some faith.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'll be doing it, Jim, because I'll fly on the flag.
You're buffoon.
Yeah, I've got a new tattoo.
I was literally just going to say, you better laser off that tattoo right now.
What is it, Jamie Vardy swinging the World Cup around his head?
With a Vimto.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Oh. Well, in Group D, Wales, they're away to Georgia, and they're without injured Gareth Bale, which is not good. Ben Woodburn could make his first Wales start as a result. Georgia, they're no mugs. I mean, they've not done very well. They only have 5 points from qualifying so far without winning a match and very little to play for. But they did draw with Wales, 1-1 last year, and drew 1-1 with both Ireland and Austria in their previous matches. And then Wales play Ireland, and that is the big one, surely, if results go as
That's a big game, for sure. Before you move on from the Georgia thing, though, you guys, I'm sure, will remember back in 2015, Scotland needed to get a win in Georgia.
Shades of that.
And they really struggled. They ended up losing 1-0, as you rightly say, but it looked like a very warm evening there, if I remember. They seemed to underestimate Georgia a bit. And I think at the time, they were in good shape, Scotland. I think they could, if they had won it, they would have gone second in the group. They were in a group with Germany and Poland and Ireland.
It's a result I'm sure a lot of Scotland fans still rue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm only joking. but Wales, Wales do need to be careful. I mean, but I wonder whether this sort of injury to Gareth Bale, who clearly is far and away their best player on talent alone, means that these other players will be able to come to the form. And they've got a lot of talented players, Wales. I mean, we joke about golden generations. We don't realistically think that Wales would win a major tournament. Although they came pretty close.
Closer than England.
But it is fair to say to them, with all joking aside, with all the sort of connotations with saying golden generation, this really is a golden generation for
absolutely.
Wales. They've got one of the world's best players. They've got a lot of good top flight operators.
World-class manager.
And by their own standards, I'll come on to the manager in a minute, by their own standards, they've achieved a great deal, and they should be really proud.
And a wonderful team spirit.
I was very envious, as we all were, of them in the Euros, because there's something to get behind.
We've all got British passports, mate. You can just jump in.
I might do that, actually. Yeah. I'll play it by ear.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a tight spot for Wales as well, because they're in severe danger of being the runner-up placed team with the fewest points.
Yeah, so doing a Denmark.
Yeah, well, quite.
It was Denmark last time, wasn't it?
Struggled with that. You're right, Jim, because people just think, oh, you've finished second, but
there is that one little trap door.
Which is awful.
Exactly.
It's horrible,
terrible,
isn't it?
It's to be in that situation. Yeah. What happened with England, would it?
No need. If we finish second, we'd definitely be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Still might happen. Maybe it won't, ladies and gentlemen. You know more than me. But yes.
genuinely gutted about missing this match. Yeah. Oh, I want to talk about us qualifying.
I want to talk about our boys in shorts. Serbia, they play Austria away and then Georgia at home. So if Wales win both games, it's not ridiculous to say that they still can't finish top. It's going to be hard without Bale, though.
Yeah,
and a lot of results need to go in their way. The playoff matches happen in November, of course, next month.
Forward to that. They're exciting, those games. They're really, really good.
But
it's
starting to feel exciting now, isn't it? We're getting to the point in the qualifiers where there are things at stake.
It's been exciting for months, Jim.
Do you remember this Zlatan v Ronaldo fight off?
Yeah.
That was class.
Well, it was billed as that, and it pretty much was. I think Ronaldo, did he get four over the two legends?
Yeah,
I think Ibrahimovic got two.
I mean, I was sad that one of them was going to miss out, but it was great to watch.
Indeed, yeah. Well, speaking of Sweden, in Group A, all to play for in that group, France and Sweden going for top spot. That is because France drew 0-0 at home with Luxembourg, which brings a smirk to your
still
face.
Still funny.
Paul Pogba won't be playing any football for a little while. He's out with a hamstring injury. He won't be playing any basketball either from here on in, as long as he's a Manchester United player. They've banned him from doing so. Because him playing that sport has contributed could contribute to a hamstring injury. Quite an interesting one.
It's quite a hard surface, isn't it, if you're jumping, if you have got the really comfiest trainers. Remember when, it was an Arsenal footballer who had a flying a plane clause.
He wanted Bergkamp, to be like, Bergkamp,
was it Bergkamp?
He didn't travel by plane.
No, he didn't like travel. No, Freddie Ljungberg.
Right.
Didn't he want to do like extreme aerial or something?
Well, I'm surprised that Pogba was allowed to play basketball anyway. Because picking up on what you're saying, Pete, the amount of times I've spoken to ex-footballers and they've said to me, when I finished playing, I went and did all the stuff I wasn't allowed to do, like skiing. And it's like, what? Skiing's that dangerous? And all these different sports, basketball, which is a high-impact sport, I'd be surprised that Pogba was allowed to do that in the first place.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't. But
he's allowed to do three-pointers only.
Yeah, exactly. Got to stay on the field.
Maybe it's in the summer, just sneaking off to the basketball
court. But they're still contracted to football clubs. They're contracted to not do that sort of stuff, like skiing, jet skiing, all that type of thing.
But if you were in charge of a football club, a chairman or something, of course you'd put those things in contracts.
Absolutely.
Because some of the injuries that footballers can get.
Have you seen some of the chairmans, Marcus?
Chairmans
and chairwomen's.
Chairmen.
It's all a moot point for France anyway, because they've got Sissoko, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Yeah,
they
go away to Bulgaria while Sweden face Luxembourg at home. Now, you would strongly expect Sweden to win that game, even though Luxembourg, pretty tasty defensively these days. Bulgaria, you'd expect France to win that, but it's one of those ones if the nerves kick in, and Bulgaria take an early lead, etc. and so on. And then next week, France have Belarus at home, which surely they'll win that, even though they started their campaign with a 0-0 draw against them. And then Sweden play the Netherlands in the last match. Now, if the Netherlands win away in Belarus and Sweden presumably beat the Dutch, then the Dutch will need to beat the Swedes. But even if they did, they've currently six goals fewer in goal difference terms, so it does look that the Dutch won't be there again.
They don't deserve it.
No.
It would be a Dutch vacuum.
They've like slipped off the top table for a good while now.
Having dined at it for so long. I mean, a semi-final and a final, or other way round rather, in consecutive World Cups.
A lot of big names missing from the World Cup, because as well as the Netherlands, you've got the USA and Argentina in real danger of not being there.
Yeah, but there's not that many big names in the Dutch side, though. I mean,
a manager speaking his English as his second language would say, they're going through a bad moment.
Indeed. But Sweden, though, Host Ibrahimovic. Absolutely loving it. Well, the big man will...
Oh, come on. you don't even need to say it.
You look at that recovery cycle. He's going to be right on form at the end of the season.
He's like a 31-year-old's left hand.
I'll be back in February.
Yeah.
I will make it March. Yeah. That's fine. That's absolutely
fine. And I'll play
fine.
One friendly.
off the bench.
Yeah. When we're 3-0 up. In Group B, this is interesting. Portugal go away to Andorra. Chance to old Ronnie, for old Ronnie rather, to rack up a few more goals. Switzerland host Hungary, a game they should win, considering they've won 8 out of 8 so far.
Really impressive, that.
The Swiss have been absolutely brilliant. Then next week, Switzerland go away to Portugal, and that will be a big one. Both sides, assuming that they win their aforementioned matches, should go into that one with Switzerland just needing a point to top the group. So the Swiss are in a good position. However, a win for Portugal, due to goal difference, would put them top. And so, what would you rather be? Would you rather be the away side just needing a point, or the home side knowing a win is good enough? Answers on a postcard.
You're getting nothing from us.
I was just really confused by the end of that.
Well, how about we talk about the Faroe Islands? Just a little props to
them.
This
is a nice story.
This group, they've picked up 8 points. Now that is progress.
And not only that, they're at home to Latvia, who are bottom of the group. If they win that, then they go away to Hungary, I think. Mm-hmm. They can leapfrog. Excuse me, leapfrog Hungary. They can get themselves in a better pot. And give themselves a chance for next time.
Damn right. This is big stuff. And for
there's no chance of qualifying now.
But no, of course. But for a side like the Faroe Islands, and you put them in the same bracket, or you certainly did with Andorra or San Marino, those kind of minnows, Jim, should we call them, are they going to lose their minnow status? I mean, they've got 8 points on the board.
It'd be amazing if they could get into another pot. I mean, that is realistically the best they can hope for, isn't it? So it's a hell of an achievement.
It's baby steps. Get into that pot, then get into the next pot. But they are a maximum of 8 years away from beating England in the tournament. Maximum.
I mean, the side that they're above, though, Latvia, they qualified in, was it 04 for the Euros?
Yeah, speaking of the team I'm most fearful of the moment of embarrassing England, Syria.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely it. Let's go to the Asian qualifying. They drew 1-1 with Australia in the first leg. Controversial late pen from the Arabian Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Omar Al-Somer. That's what people say.
That penalty was a beauty.
Great penalty. Yeah. That's how you take them.
I couldn't really work out if it was fair to award the penalty kick.
It's controversial.
Yeah. I only saw it once, and I couldn't really make it out.
It's one of those ones where, because it's for Syria, people think, oh, there's a fairy tale, don't worry about it. And Australia going, hang on.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't a penalty.
It was a move in that game, because obviously Australia went one ahead for Robbie Cruz, who plays in Germany, isn't he?
Yeah, Tony's brother. Yeah,
Max's brother. Uh-huh. And Tom's brother. And and there was a period, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a passage of play, because Australia, as you'd expect, had quite a lot of chances. The game wasn't played in Syria for obvious reasons, it was played in Malaysia.
Yeah.
And there was a passage of play, I don't know if you saw it, Marcus, where guy goes in on goal, he strikes it, hits the post, it comes back out to him, he strikes it again, hits the post again.
It was strange.
Yeah, and it goes out wide, the ball back comes in, and he misses the chance again. Oh. It was crazy. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
It was quite a
sort of thing England would do in the last minute with 1-0 down in a knockout game.
Hang on, stop slagging off England.
No, I've gone the other way now. Oh, it's second half of the show, I'm hammering him. Yeah.
You'll come crawling back. With your three lions. Australia failed to qualify automatically on goal difference. Mm. If they bugger this up, they'll be sick to their tum-tums.
But, as you can imagine, it pains me greatly to say this about our Australian cousins, but they've made a bit of a tit of themselves, really, because they left the Oceania group to get a bit more competitive football.
Mm. Well, and that's good, and that's helped them.
Well, yeah, it's good, but it's backfired.
Well, no, because it was not the first time
Do they want to play at the World Cup or not?
Have they qualified?
Do they want to play next summer or not?
Yes.
Well, will they do it? Don't know.
They're booked up.
Yeah. They've booked up.
They've got the hotels.
Yeah.
They're going to be there whatever.
Yeah. Might as well just go along. Yeah. The fees are outrageous. Yeah.
Do you think that's what they do? Yeah. That would test the squad spirit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Should we go along anyway? No. Yeah. Well, I hate them all.
No, the manager should say, one way or another, you're going to Russia next
that's
summer.
Right, that's
if you
right.
want to play, you better sharpen up.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're going to be sharing with the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
Subletting.
Teams already qualified from Asia. Saudi Arabia, Carlos Quiroz's Iran, Japan, and South Korea. South Korea.
Peter Donaldson's Japan, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. They play the Peter Donaldson.
Is that what you're doing?
Way.
You were staging a coup again. Yeah. How'd this one go?
Pete Donaldson, National Stadium.
As soon as I went over there, I've instantly called an election, so must have had some kind of.
Pete just goes over there with a load of tactics boards under his arms, writes a load of notes, and just leaves them around the place.
Yeah.
It works.
And they've qualified.
Indeed, they have. South Korea, the only side outside of Europe and South America to have qualified for every World Cup since and including 1986.
And if you admire that consistency, they are currently 250-1. With Bet365 to win the World Cup next year. So £10 will return £2,500, including stake. I'll say it now, it's a better bet than England.
250-1, did you say? In the you know, the time of Leicester winning the league.
I know.
they're up to a semi-final again. They may have hosted the tournament and there was... Well, I'll just say referees and move on from there. But still, that's not too shabby, Peter. Yeah. Not too shabby.
Hear that, Marcus?
There it is. There's
I'm
the coins.
Me poons.
In CONCACAF qualified, Mexico qualified, of course. Costa Rica are guaranteed at least a playoff spot, but they look good for automatic promotion. USA play Panama. That's the big one.
This is huge.
That is the big one.
Do you know what? I'll be totally honest here. When I knew that we were going to talk about Panama, I did start doing a bit of research about Panama. I thought, do you know what? Life's way too short for this. I'm can't be bothered.
It's a lovely country.
I've never been there. Have you been there?
I have. Very much. I was there, actually, when they played a World Cup qualifier previously. And they drew. But that was when, I think that was the time when they stuffed it up against the US. They were 2-1 up and the US won 3-2 in injury time, scored two late goals in injury time, and that handed Mexico the playoff spot rather than going to Panama, because Panama have never qualified for a World Cup, and Mexico they were let off the hook so much, and they were like, cheers, thanks very much, dispatch the New Zealand 9-3 on aggregate in the playoff. Yeah. Cheers, we're good for it.
They might want some revenge. Could be taxing for the US.
It's a lovely country, lovely people.
Do your Panama hat thing again.
Oh, yeah, I love that material.
Well, it's from Ecuador, Panama hat.
So that's the thing, isn't it? So just tell people.
Well, Panama hats, actually, ladies and gentlemen, you'd be amazed to know that actually from Ecuador.
Yeah, there you go.
But they were sold in Panama around the canal.
And don't think I missed your tax joke, by the way, as well.
I didn't.
I don't think I missed the fact that when you said leapfrog, you had a frog in your throat.
I almost mentioned that, actually. Do you know what? I got a bit confused.
It's a bit self-appreciating.
No, I was thinking about why I'd stopped doing the classic England tropes.
Oh, right.
A crippling sense of insecurity. There you go.
Honduras, they're still going for the final automatic qualifying place. It'd be nice to see those bruisers back at the tournament, wouldn't it?
You know what? Even as much as we've been enjoying sort of hyping up England, it's hearing names like South Korea, Panama, Honduras, Costa Rica that gets me excited about the World Cup.
Do you know
what
that is, Jim? Because there was a golden time, and we all remember it, where the only time you'd know about these players or even see them would be in a World Cup or something like that.
And they would look like absolute world beaters if they were having a sort of notable game.
Like that Saudi Arabian player, he went for the whole team.
Saidi Owara. Yeah. He scored against Belgium in 1994.
It's a great goal, but like those players are basically training cones, aren't they? They are falling out of his way the whole way through it.
That's a decent Belgian side, although, of course, in the next round, when they were beaten 3-2 by Germany, went 2-1 down very early on, it was an early kickoff here, and some of the defenders are still having breakfast.
And a special note for Hussam Hassan as well.
Oh, very special.
World Cup 90, you know, that was good. Good to see him.
That's good.
It was. Hussam Hassan's a guy you're never going to hear about. Yeah,
exactly. Well, the United Arab Emirates, when they qualified for World Cup 90, they were hammered, I think, 5-1 by Germany and 4-1 by Yugoslavia. Forget Colombia, how much they beat them by.
Yeah, that was the group.
Every goal scorer got a Rolls Royce in that side.
And I hope they call it.
And, yeah, absolutely. But it's all very well reminiscing, Jim, about World Cups gone by. What about the future? What does the future hold for the World Cup?
Well, before we go on to that, Marcus, as I expressly stated earlier, I'm going to go for... I want to tell you about USA being 4-7 to win at home to Panama this weekend. So £10 with Bet365 will return £15.71, including stake. So if you're a fan of the older the USA, get behind them.
Get behind them and get behind their bid.
The Outlaws, they call their fan group. I've actually got a US Outlaws scarf given to me by my brother-in-law.
Alexi Lalas, what's he going to have to say?
Well, the in-laws gave me an Outlaws scarf. Good one, Jim.
Look more hokey-cokey.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Turn around and put a quid on. Yeah. A joint bid from the US, Canada and Mexico is the favourite to win the bid for the 2026 World Cup.
Not in my book.
48 teams are going to operate.
The favourite in my book is Pete Donaldson.
What? I'm going to be hosting what?
You're either hosting 2026 or 2030.
His flat's never big enough. Mind you, if he fits them all in, they will never get out.
Yeah, 48 teams, Pete. Can you do it?
Somebody tweeted us, it's the anniversary of when you locked us into your flat.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful, that's thing.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Ed Balls.
Pete. DG. Pete, the reason this is funny to me, and just to educate the listeners a bit, is because you are the least organised man I've ever met. So, you organising the World Cup tournament would be amazing.
And you look like...
He's not talking about your looks
Let him carry on.
Yeah, with your oversized jumper.
You look like if the burglars from Home Alone had sex and had a baby.
I told you it'd be worth it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Very true.
Let me free.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Anyway, that's the hosting thing done.
2026. Oh yeah, Morocco, the only other candidate so far.
Good luck in your bid, Morocco.
Morocco were only, I think, a vote or two away from hosting 98 World Cup.
Not going to happen, is it, though?
Well, it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's true. I think you're right there.
It went to France. But what about 2030? A joint bid from Argentina, Paraguay and Uruguay.
Is this going to be a cleaner fight than last time? Well, is it going to be... there's going to be a lot less shit flying around
Have you been... Where have you been? they've cleaned up FIFA House.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's going to be cleaner, so...
Yeah, sorted, man.
It's a big glass house anyway. It's always been transparent, really.
You can see what's going on for miles.
Yeah.
Because that'll be the World Cup centenary in the original World Cup. The first one.
I can't think of it. I can't think about it because I'll be 49 and it's depressing.
Oh, my goodness Christ.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, the bidding won't happen for another few years, you'll be pleased to know. Although UEFA President Alexander Seferin says a British bid for the 2030 World Cup would be strongly supported. He won't be around in that position
and we'll mess it up. So don't
and China will probably come in and get it anyway.
We'll have a pension-aged David Beckham with Prince William bald as a coot.
God. Well, Prince William?
Yeah, he will be bald as a coot by then, won't he?
Is he already?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Yeah. He'll be like Dr. Evil by then. I've got no beef with him, but he will be. And it'll just go wrong, so there's no point. Save your money. How much did the last one cost? Was about £8 million.
Luke, what is going to go right? What is our best bet with Bet365?
Yes, James Short is out of the hot seat, never to return, unless we got run out of listeners, I suppose, and he has to come back again.
Or he uses a different name.
Yeah, he could do.
Don't do that, James.
Well, he might have done that, yeah. This is Sam Crawford stepping into the hot seat. Brave move.
Yeah.
He could be out next week.
Yeah, exactly.
He could be the Native American throwing the water cooler out the window and running for the hills in that film.
It's probably not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that
is. One flew over the cookies nest.
That's for, of course it is, of course.
Arrogance. Anyway, sorry, mate. I don't know what it is.
I
sometimes find it hard to understand the Geordie people. Sam Crawford says, three of the Premier League's biggest stars in Kevin De Bruyne, Eden Hazard and Romelu Lukaku team up for Belgium this weekend, travelling to Bosnia accompanied by defensive talents such as Jan Vertonghen, Toby Alderweireld and Thibaut Courtois. I think you can all see where this is going. I'll cut a long story short. He thinks Belgium will win and keep a clean sheet against Bosnia. That's 15-4 with Bet365. £50 returns, £237.50, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gambleaware.co.uk. So that is Belgium to win and keep a clean sheet against Bosnia. Sam Crawford, you're up. This is your first bet. Mm-hmm. If you get this one in, you will be a third of the way towards proper Ramble folklore. And what I mean by that, to those new to the show, the first man ever to receive an ORE, an Order of the Ramble Empire. It's not the Holy Grail. No one's ever done it.
It only came into existence
You're right.
No one's ever won it.
Yeah, thank you. So, Sam, good luck to you. I'll just reiterate for everyone listening, Belgium to win and to keep a clean sheet against Bosnia is our best bet with Bet365.
There we are. Wonderful stuff. Should we look ahead to the weekend?
Oh, yeah, I've got a few of those as well.
Far away.
Yeah, just to round off, Chris Brain says, I'm looking forward to watching England qualify for the Ruddy World Cup. Get on board the hype train. Hashtag excited as speller.
Damn right, Chris Brain, the thinking man's fan.
Yeah. You can't really do one of these sections without one from Oliver Memories Bailey.
No, it's not. Can we go for the brain to memories?
There we go.
Ironically, he's so good at predicting the future.
He says, there's really nothing to look forward to at all. It's just bleak, very bleak.
Bugger off!
Oliver, you carry on.
I thought the comments would be inundated with more international football.
If Oliver Memories Bailey carries on like this, I'm going to stop using him. I tell you. I'm going to stop using him.
Is he Chris Sutton?
Yeah, he might be. Ross Fell, not sure if it was on the continent or on the ramble, but Luke called Coolio a one-hit wonder.
He wasn't. I'll see you when you get there.
You're absolutely right. I did some research. Coolio has, in fact, had 3 top 10 singles.
The
aforementioned Gangster's Paradise. 1, 2, 3, 4, Something New. Remember that one?
I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4, Get Your Woman on the Floor.
Gotta get up to get down.
That was him.
All right.
And,
Get on the Floor, Woman.
I know, right? And Fantastic Voyage, which I couldn't remember.
Well, he also did the theme tune to Keenan and Kel, did he not?
Right. That
it's
was
not really
top
a
10.
Hit, but still.
Residuals.
You know. I'll see you when you get there. I only got to number 12. So, apologies to Coolio and to Ross and anyone else who was offended. There we go. That's the end of it. That's me done.
If you are offended by that, then change.
Get your emails on the floor. showatthefootballramble.com.
Absolutely right.
showatthefootballramble.com and our Facebook is /footballramble and our Twitter is @footballramble.
There we are. Any more, gentlemen?
Let's get out of here.
See, I'm looking forward to Monday because we still get to talk about international football. And the South American qualifying, I mean, it could be interesting because Peru away to Argentina. It's produced some moments before. We're going to talk about that on Monday, certainly. And
Argentina are doing a proper England. They've had like three managers and this cycle, isn't it?
Oh, they'll be fine, Luke.
They'll be fine, right?
They'll be fine. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. Come on, England. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Bowler hat.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Sprouts.
Sprouts?
Parliament.
I want this so bad. 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 I want this so bad.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.